chain. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God, re-above, to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will never be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Be seated to our last hymn, hymn number 5. Bible talks about there are seraphim. Their only job is to circle the throne of God, screaming, "Holy, holy, holy. For only he is worthy of our praise. Only he is worthy of our whole dedication to praise for his glory and his honor. They're not there to lift him up or to lift his ego. No, he is high and lifted up. They are there to prove. They are there to show the importance of this God figure, this Lord and Savior who has given everything for us, his children. So consider this practice time. Consider this our time to learn that we will be in the presence of a holy and righteous God for all eternity. And we get the chance to join by singing praises of holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Sing the last verse and think about the fact that we're just ready and preparing for an eternal future with God.
Holy, 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 Lord. God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed.
Good singing this morning.
Find your Bibles and open those to the 139th Psalm, or the 138th Psalm, I'm sorry. 138th Psalm. Let's read all eight verses of that psalm, beginning in verse number 1, the 138th psalm, a psalm of David. Verse number 1, David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I praise unto thee. I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Just one little bit of thing here. Sometimes King James Version, which is all I use. I don't study with anything else. I don't use anything else. I don't trust anything else. But just like the word conversation, which means your lifestyle, the way you're living now, has changed. We think about conversation as the way we talk or what we say, but conversation in King James is the manner of your living, the way you live. In the way this is worded, for thou hast magnified thy name above all with thy word. It says, for thou hast magnified thy name above all things, in thy word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. And so we want to know that God has magnified his name through his word. And his word is everlasting to everlasting. Verse number 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Again, I remind you, we oftentimes think about the word saved, salvation, and those kinds of things as talking about the soul or the spirit of man. Here in the Old Testament, oftentimes when he uses the word saved, salvation, he's talking about deliverance. That's what the word means in Old and New Testament, deliverance. We are saved by being delivered from the penalty of our sin and our sins. And here he says, thy right hand shall save me or deliver me from my enemies, from all my troubles. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Let's pray. Father, we're conscious of the fact that we're standing in your presence, conscious of the fact that you promise where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be in the very midst. Not only do we believe that, we desire that more than anything else this morning, that as you meet with us, you use the power of your word to speak to us, to guide us, give us direction, give us clarity, increase our faith, give us more faith, Lord. I pray that as we serve you, as we honor you with our lives, that you magnify yourself to us. No greater thing than to realize that your hand is upon us, that you're leading us, you're guiding us, you're helping us through all of our troubles, just like David proclaimed. And God, we do have trouble again and again. I pray this morning you'd guide us through the scriptures. Holy Spirit, that you would reveal the truth of every matter here, that you'll help us as we honor and lift up our King, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that you forgive our sin now. It's in Jesus' name I pray it all. Amen. Be seated. Message this morning is living by faith. Living by faith. What happened? Right. Fact of what Elijah and what the widow woman both learned in the trying to find people who can pray for us that might reach heaven's throne more readily than we can ourselves, rather than simply trusting our God who fights for us. And so I want to talk to you this morning about living by faith and try to make it as clear and simple as possible. You notice verse 8 of that which we just read. David has praised the Lord. He's worshiped God through this chapter. He's magnified the Lord. He said, your word magnifies your name above everything. He goes on and he gives credit to God about walking in the midst of trouble and how God revives us and all of those things in verse number 7, how the right hand of God delivers us from our enemies. And then verse 8, David writes and he says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine hand, thine own hands. David reminds him that we are a work of God's hands, you know, created in the image of God, created in the likeness of God. We are but the dust of the earth, molded and shaped and put together, formed in the womb of our mother. God knew us before our substance took form. God knew when life began immediately at conception. He understood all of that. He told Jeremiah, he said, before you had arms and legs, I knew you. I saw you in the belly of your mother. I knew all about you, and I called you from the womb. It's interesting to note that God has a plan for our lives and a purpose for our lives even before we have conscience of our own life. God knows all about us and prepares us. But there's one thing that God wants. He wants not only your love, but he wants your trust. I told you before, I like the definition, you know, we're created in the image and likeness of Almighty God. That means we're a triune being like God is. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. One God, three personalities. We're created in his image and in his likeness, so we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. When you're born again, your spirit becomes brand new. It was dead in trespasses and sins. Now it's made alive when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you realize that without Him, you're going to go to hell. Without Him, sin's penalty is too great for you to pay. You need help. Your spirit is born again, but look at this. You still have two against you in your own body. You have a soul of emotions that will lead you astray. You have a body of cravings that will also lead you astray unless you allow and demand that that which is born again, the spirit that is in you, that is now life from God, eternal, unless you allow the spirit to guide you and walk with you through life, you're going to be in trouble every day. Your soul is not capable of making godly decisions. Your body does not even want to make godly decisions. It wants to do what feels good and what gives it pleasure. Paul said, I beat my body into submission, lest having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. In another portion of scripture, he says that you need to learn to take captive every thought that comes into your mind and not allow anything to guide you and direct you simply because it feels right. Satan can affect the soul of man where his self-conscious is and his emotions lie. Satan can tempt the body of flesh with cravings and desires and lusts, but he can't touch the spirit that is born again of God. He cannot. That's what this is all about this morning, is having been born again, having been made a new creature through faith in Jesus Christ, now we are to live by the same faith that we exercised in Christ. Now we're to live every single day by that faith. And I show you that as best I can this morning. If you'll turn with me, hold your place in Psalm 138. I'm coming back for actually 3 points of the message. In verse number 8, I'll be back in just a moment. But I want to carry you through on this journey of faith, living by faith, living by faith. Oh, I have faith. I understand, but what about when trouble comes? You fall apart, or are you still trusting God? You know, Christians sometimes do not know themselves and do not realize how weak we really are when we run over here for this opinion and run over here for this opinion and see if this one has guidance and that one has guidance, instead of just simply handing it over to God and trusting Him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You got problems, you got troubles, take it to the Lord and leave it there. I had some individuals this week text message me begging for prayer. They have individuals that are sick and dying with cancer and things going on. And the one thing they said was, I'm afraid for my loved one. I'm afraid. Well, you know, fear is a real emotion, but fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. Faith is from God. Fear is from the devil himself. Fear is a great motivator sometimes. But what I'm saying is, I don't mind praying for anyone. I'll pray for everyone. I have these individuals on my prayer list and pray for them daily, sometimes multiple times a day, and different ones. And it's a scriptural thing to have others pray with you and for you about certain areas of life. But I want to be able to touch God's throne with my own prayer as well. And the only way you can do that is by having trust in Him, confidence in Him, and go to Him in prayer and ask Him confidently for the things that you have need of. Living by faith. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11, I've got to hurry. This doesn't seem like a long message on paper, but when you begin to go through and read scripture, sometimes it turns out that way. Look, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, a great man of God, but was trained in Pharaoh's household. He was trained for 40 years in Pharaoh's house. 40 years. Listen, he was trained as a military officer. Pharaoh always headed up his army. He was trained in the military and all of the necessities and all the ways of war and battle and all of those things. He was trained in the arts and the music and the culture of Egypt, which we still are amazed at today when we see pictures and we're able to go in museums and see the artifacts. We're still amazed at the mindset of the ancient Egyptians. He was trained in philosophy. He was trained in every area. Moses must have been a brilliant man. And the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know what that meant? You know what he gave up? You know what he turned his back on? At that time, the strongest nation, the strongest empire in the entire world was at his fingertips. But he knew that Pharaoh's daughter was not his real mother. He knew who his mother was. And she trained him to worship the one true and living God. Not the multiplicity of gods that the Egyptians worshiped. And Pharaoh knew better. May I say right here, before I go any further, for the sake of the young and the old and the deceived, that the only way you get to heaven is through Jesus Christ himself. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, for the sins of the entire world. Some people think they get there by being a member of a church somewhere. Some people think that being a member and being baptized a certain way by a certain denomination entitles them to get to heaven. None of those things will do anything for you or for your sin. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we have remission of sin, that we have forgiveness of sin, and we have right to enter into heaven, into the glories of Almighty God, is because of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. We recognize that sin has a penalty. And if we do not trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's already done for us, then the penalty of sin, which we owe, will be collected, but it's not God's fault, it's our fault for not going the way that God intended for us to go, and that was through his Son, Jesus Christ. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that has faith, he that has trusted Jesus Christ, notice the primary preposition, the word on. It means to cast upon something, to be on something. They believe on Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. Demons believe in Jesus Christ and tremble, but they've never exercised faith on Jesus Christ. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. To believe in the name of Jesus Christ is the very beginning of recognizing there is someone who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to God the Father except through Jesus the Son. So, having said that, I remind you, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, by trusting God, he refused Pharaoh. He refused all of the Egyptian splendor and wealth and culture and glory. He must have been about 40 years of age at this particular time, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, verse 25, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Keep that little phrase in mind. The recompense of the reward. Because we're going to look at it again just in a moment. Verse 27 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing. That's great. When you're full of faith, there is no fear. Amen. When you're full of faith, there is no fear. Well, I'm just afraid I'm going to lose my job. Well, turn it over to the Lord. Well, I'm just afraid I might have a deadly... Well, turn it over to the Lord. cast yourself upon the Lord and tell him to take away your fear, because fear does not come from him, it comes from Satan. How many times have I asked God for that and received it? Son in Iraq with the 1st Marine Division going through Baghdad and other places, Mosul and other horrible hot spots, and young men losing their lives, and I could listen to the television, but I had no contact with him while he was there. You talk about someone about to lose their mind, until it dawned on me, God said, you preach it, why don't you live it? And I pulled my car over to the side and prayed. And I finally gave my son over to the Lord and said, here he is. He's yours to do with what you want. Take away my fear and anxiety. You know how much I love him, but probably not any more than you love him. Take care of him. My fear left. My anxiety left. My dread left. And I was able to carry on. You know, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, verse 26, notice, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to notice verse number 35. Paul writes to the Hebrew people and he says, cast not away therefore your confidence. What is confidence? Faith. What is confidence? Trust. Cast not away therefore your faith, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. God rewards those who believe him. God rewards those who trust him and have faith in him, which is one and the same. God rewards those who do not falter in their faith, that not only God can, but God will, because he said he would. Cast not away therefore your confidence. The word confidence means three things. I want you to notice this. The word confidence, not only your trust, your faith, but here's how it's broken down. The word confidence means your frankness. You can be frank with people when you know the truth. Your bluntness. Why are we going to beat around the bush and flower it all up? I'm just going to tell you the truth. You can have confidence. I have confidence that the Word of God will do the work of God. Your assurance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your assurance in God, which hath great recompense. Recompense, requital. What does it mean? Repayment. It means compensated for loss. God compensates you for trusting him. Literally. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense, requital, a repayment of reward. Reward. You get rewarded for trusting God. Hallelujah. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What did we just talk about? We talked about God recompensing or repaying those who have trust and confidence in him, who have a frankness, a bluntness, an assurance of the truth that God said it and it makes it so, no matter whether you believe it or not. If God said it, that's the truth. I can rely upon it. And so he says, now the just shall live by faith. The just, those who've been justified, those who've been born again. I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 1 in just a moment, and I'm going to show you the phrase from faith to faith, and I want you to understand it. But here's the first part. You've been born again. You've been saved. You trusted Jesus Christ. You're going to heaven now. Your sins have been forgiven. The just shall live. You don't have to get saved again and again and again. It's impossible. It's not something you can do. You can't get born again physically again and again. Some of us are too big and too fat, and it'll never make it. It'll never happen. It's an impossibility. It would be miraculous if it did happen, but it ain't gonna. You say, preacher, I know that's dumb. I know I can't get born again, you know, physically. Then why do you think you can spiritually? It's an impossibility. He said it in chapter 5 and 6 of Hebrews. He said it's an impossibility. You can't get born again the second time. You don't ever lose it because it's eternal life. But if you were to lose it, you couldn't get it again. It's an impossibility. Notice he says, now the just, the justified, those who've been born again, the just shall live. How many of you are alive right now? I just wonder if you know that or not. Okay, you do. Thank you. You're living. You're alive. He says that the just should be alive and live by faith. Not your little book that has 1,000 different names in it and contacts that can get you this and get you this and get you that and get you something else that you go to when you get in problem and you get in trouble. Not your list of contacts that you think about first of all, but I'm talking about when you get in trouble and you get the war going on around you, you head to the throne of God, not your little book that has all your contacts in it. The just shall live by faith. Now notice, but if any man draw back, it means you abandon faith. Are you listening? You abandon faith. You go to the little book of names. What can so-and-so do for me? Oh, yeah, so-and-so and so. Wait a minute. God might use someone to help you, but don't you think you ought to talk to God before you talk to anybody else? Might be a good idea. God said, it does not please me at all. It angers me, as a matter of fact, when you drop your faith and pick your book of names up and your contacts. That's what he said. Look, paraphrase, verse 38. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, you shrink back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's living by faith or living without faith. We draw back. Now, I want you to stay with me. I want you to realize that a lot of times these are quotes of Old Testament. There's an Old Testament phrase, you don't have to turn there, but it's found in Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 4. You find that the Bible says, the just shall live by his faith. Not by the preacher's faith or not by the church's faith or anybody, but by your own faith. The just shall live. The just shall be alive and do daily activities and carry on, even in the face of trouble, trials, battles that come, storms in life. The just shall live by his faith. That's what Habakkuk says about it. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 1, I'm ready to give you that now. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 17, actually 16 and 17, they're a pair of verses that go together. Verse 16 starts it and verse 17 finishes it. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, listen to what Paul says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What is the power? The gospel. What is the gospel? Well, that's good news. Well, what is the good news? Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. That's a good news. But he didn't just die. He was resurrected and he ascended back to heaven. The good news is Jesus Christ shed his blood for our sins that we might be born again and saved if we trust him and if we give our heart and soul to him. Now notice, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God in reference to or unto salvation, deliverance from the penalty of death or the penalty of sin, salvation. Notice, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that word therein, you can underline it, draw you a line back to the gospel, the word gospel of Christ, underlying gospel of Christ, because therein means the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel of Christ, because it was without sin that Jesus was able to die for us. His righteousness. Remember 2 Corinthians, where Paul writes and he says, "For he, God the Father, hath made him, the Son, sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Remember that? And here he says, "For therein is the righteousness," in the gospel of Christ. It's not just those words, gospel of Christ, but it means all that Jesus was and is. Virgin born, sinless, without sin. But he took all of our sin upon himself and paid that penalty, paid that price. The righteousness of Christ allowed him to take your sin and mine and pay the difference, pay the penalty. And then he handed us his righteousness. We became not our flesh, not our soul, our emotions, but our spirit became righteous and holy in the sight of God. He's still working on the flesh and the mind, which shall be saved when the rapture resurrection takes place. Brand new body, brand new soul to go with it. Notice, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, do you know what that means? From faith to faith. "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written," here's Habakkuk again, "the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. Justified. The justified shall live by faith. In other words, it's not about getting saved all over again, exercising that faith and getting saved all over again. It means you got saved by faith. You are justified in the eyes of God, washed by the blood of Jesus. You are made whole, clean. You are a child of God, born into his family by his life given unto you. Amen. So now, faith to faith, that faith saved you. Now, as a justified individual, you're to live your life by faith every day. And by living your life through faith and by faith every day, you're able to participate in and see that righteousness of God more clearly and experience the joy of the presence of God every single day in your life and see what he has for you. "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." In other words, you don't understand and you can't see and you can't fellowship with God Almighty until you've been born again into his family from faith. Saving faith to living faith. Saving faith to living faith. You say, "I don't understand." Hang with me, I'll show you. Look in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Actually, verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law," I'm trying to do the best I can and get to heaven. It'll never work. "I'm trying to let my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds by the works of the law. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments of God so I can go to heaven." You'll never make it. There's none good. No, not one. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things." You can sin, you can mess up in one thing in life, and you're guilty of everything. "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." It is evident. You're not justified by your works. You're not justified by the law. You're not justified by keeping the Ten Commandments. You're not justified by a water baptism. You're not justified by a church membership. You're not justified by doing unto others. You'd have them do unto you. You're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've been saved. Now notice, "but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just, stop. The born again, the sons of God, the just, shall live by faith. Two different things here. The just, those who are born again, shall live by faith. There you go again. The just shall live by faith. Wonderful thing. There's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. David wrote about it in that psalm. And what we see is that people in the Old Testament understood that it was not about the sacrifice of bulls and goats. It was not about the pigeon and the dove that were sacrificed. That could never wash away sin or give help or hope in any shape, form, or fashion. But they understood, as Habakkuk did, that the just shall live by his faith. They understood that to be born again into the family of God meant that they were just. It was faith that saved them. David knew very well he saw the coming king and never saw him eye to eye, but by faith he knew him. So did Elijah, and so did all the prophets in the Bible. But then they said, the just, those who have been justified through the blood, shall live by faith. They shall continuously live, continuously in their actions, continuously in their business dealings, continuously in their troubles, in their storms, in their problems, live by faith again and again. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. He gives us all of the evidence of the Spirit that is within us. And then in verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What is that? If we live in the Spirit, we've been born again, made alive. The spirit of man has been born again. We're now children of God, but not our flesh. Not our soul, emotions. Our emotions will lead us astray. Our flesh will lead us astray. Crucify those and listen to the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, we've been born again, we're alive in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. It's what Habakkuk said. It's what David quoted Habakkuk as saying. It's what Paul quoted Habakkuk as saying, the just shall live by faith. They shall live by their faith. What I'm trying to do is just lay the groundwork and say, look, it's easy to sit down and when we have this discussion say, well, I have faith. 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 As long as everything's running smoothly, it's easy to say, I have faith. I have faith. Let the problems come. You never know an individual truthfully until you see them in the fiery furnace of life. And then you see if they're panic-stricken. Then you see if they're really trusting God or not. Those Hebrew children knew, and they said, hey, we don't care. Throw us in there. We'll go. We'll die before we serve you. But our God is able. You know, someone wrote, I think it was Vance Havner years ago, and I try to quote it, but I'll get close to it. Vance Havner says that our joy is not the absence of troubles, but our joy is the fourth person present in the fiery furnace with us. Three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, were cast into the furnace for obeying God and not listening to the dreadful king, and they threw them into the fiery furnace. God did not exempt them from the trouble, and God did not exempt them from the test and the trial by fire. But when they looked in there and the king looked in, he said, did we not cast three into the furnace? Yes, O king, yes. But I see four men there and they're walking around in the fire and the furnace. How's it possible? The fourth man was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And oftentimes we miss it. We think it's so dreadful to go through a trial. It's so dreadful for the trouble to come. It's so dreadful for the furnace upon our life. It's so dreadful for all these problems in life. No, wait, you missed it. The honor and glory and mercy of God is not the absence of trouble in the furnace, But it's the fact that he'll shoulder up with us and walk through it with us, step by step by step. His presence. With God's presence, we can do most anything as long as his hand's upon us. Oh, how wonderful. If we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you how to do that just very simply. You got to die to the flesh. You can't let your body lead and rule over you. Your body has five senses, and your body is craving and lustful. Your body will lead you astray. You got to crucify it. Jesus said, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. It doesn't mean die physically, but it means die to the desires of the flesh and put Jesus first. Now, not only that, but die to the emotions. We oftentimes let our emotions rule over us, and we say, well, maybe we shouldn't go there. Maybe we'd be better off going somewhere else. Why? I just don't have a good feeling about that. I don't want the feeling. I want a direction from God. Amen? I want a direction from God. And we don't allow our feelings to rule over us. So, okay, bottom line. Now, listen. There's a song in our hymnal. I'm not sure what page it is. I got this out of the old hymnal that I told you could have. The old hymnal says, living by faith. We sing it quite often. Living by faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe, in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Hey, here's the storm. Listen, there's a Facebook. Some young man just had brain surgery, tumors on the brain, very young. And teenager, I would assume. And they're praying for him, and he's doing all right, but he's going to have another surgery or so. Listen, instead of going berserk, how about putting him in the hand of Almighty God? You know? Look, though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife, living by faith in Jesus above. I know that he safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walked close to my side? Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arm, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. That's what David was writing about in that 138th Psalm. In verse number 8, he says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will, the word perfect means to mature. The idea of maturity oftentimes is old age. And actually perfecting or maturing means to finish. The Lord will finish that which concerneth me. I'm reminded of the Lord when he said something, a paraphrase, in one instance to the disciples. He said, you know not what I do now, but you shall know hereafter. Oftentimes we don't know what the Lord's doing for us or how he's manipulating and working things for us, but the Bible says, and David knew it very well, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. The Lord will mature it. The Lord will finish that which concerns me. And the idea of the word concern means the idea of perpetuity, continuance. The Lord just keeps on, keeps on, keeps on. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Yeah. for sure. Notice the 57th Psalm. Hold your place. I'm coming back to 138. In Psalm 57, in verse number 2, you find it said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Now you can look it up, the word performeth. Get your Webster's Dictionary out, the 1828 model. Yeah. I always forget that. I want to say 26, but it's 28. It's about yay thick. It's about this long, and it's about this wide. It has all the King James words in it. You'll find it. It means completes. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that completes all things for me. You ever start a project and never finally get back to it? Your wife reminds you of it? You still have stuff lying around that you were working with? Don't touch that. I'm going to be back. After 2 weeks, it's still there. And she quietly and kindly reminds you that it's kind of sort of in the way, but you haven't finished. Sometimes we're bad about finishing what we start. Maybe when we get I have to be in the mood to do it, you know. Yeah, have to be in the mood to do it. You don't want a haphazard job on that. I have to be in the mood to do that. But God's always in the mood. He completes, he finishes everything he starts with us. And he does a very good job of it. Notice it says, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that completes all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. We read it last week. His mercy and truth are new every morning, every day. Wonderful. Philippians chapter 1. I'm coming back to the 138th Psalm. I'm just giving you applications of those verses. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident. Well, confidence? Don't drop your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. If you look the word up, you'll find it means finish, literally. He will finish it. He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. God started something in me when he saved me. And when I was a child, there were things that, as going to church and going to Bible school and all the things that went on, it was preparing me for things. And I look back now. I didn't understand it then. I couldn't understand it then. I was in the midst of it. But I can look back now and say that things in my early life prepared me for the ministry later on. And God called me into the ministry, and he's still working a work. But someday he'll finish it. He'll complete it. And we'll all be in glory together. Faith's full assurance. God will not leave us haphazard. Faith's full assurance. God will finish what he starts in your life. You say, well, I've been praying for a job. I don't have a job. Hang on. God will give you one in his time. You say, well, this and this and this is going on in my life. Have you talked to God about it? You talk to everyone else about it. Have you talked to God about it? He will finish it if you give him time. God's time period is not the same as ours. And sometimes, listen, sometimes there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, you know, we think we're waiting on God. Sometimes God's waiting on us. It plainly says that God waits for us. Sometimes we have to get our attitude right. Sometimes we have to get our focus right. Sometimes we have to get our faith right. We're not having faith in our faith. We're having faith in our God. We're trusting him. People like to boast about their faith and boast about being a prayer warrior. Yeah. But how many times have they had to be pulled out of the ditch themselves? You know, we're not egotistical about our faith. I got great faith. My faith is strong, and faith in our faith. Faith in your faith is going to fail, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will never fail. It will carry on. Faith's full assurance. There's a second thing. As Paul writes, or as David writes, that 138th Psalm in verse number 8, David says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever." Thy mercy, O Lord, look at the spelling, Lord, Jehovah God, the pre-incarnated Jesus, the Christ. Thy mercy, O Lord, thy kindness, thy loving kindness, thy goodness, thy favor, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, I'm not sure that Paul, when he was writing, had the exact same definition as we're looking at here of the word endure or endurance, but Paul said it like this in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not hold themselves up against it. They'll not put up with it. They'll not bear with it. They'll not suffer it. They'll not stay by it. They won't put up with the truth. They don't want the truth. They want a feel-good religion. They don't want the bluntness." Remember the confidence that we talked about of knowing the truth? They don't want the confidence. They don't want the bluntness. They don't want the frankness. They don't want those. They want to feel good. But here David writes and he says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever." It means God has the patience. God has the ability to stay by the stuff. God will not leave early. He endures us. His mercy, his loving kindness, his favor endures forever. The 51st Psalm, Psalm 51, we talk about faith. This is the fruit of faith, is that enduring mercy and love that God gives us is a result of our faith in him and firm foundation of our faith. Psalm 51, David writes, and he says literally, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, not according to my deserving. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before thee. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Oh, that's Adamic nature. Adamic sin. We're born in sin. We don't have to learn sin. A baby rattlesnake doesn't learn how to strike. He already has that nature to strike. You and I have the nature to sin. David recognized it. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts." Verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." And on and on. Faith's firm foundation. Trusting God because he is faithful to forgive. Trusting God because he's faithful to love unconditionally. Trusting God, having faith in him because God is faithfully able to work us through all of our difficulties, all our problems, all our trials. Notice the last thing. The 138th Psalm, verse 8. Notice faith's fervent prayer. Verse 8, three things in there. A full assurance of God's love and protection over us. A firm foundation. He says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever." A firm foundation, an unending foundation of mercy from God Almighty. And faith's fervent prayer. He says, "Forsake not the works of thine own hands." Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. How many times, not arrogantly and not pridefully, But out of a broken heart, how many times have I reminded God that, hey, I'm nothing but dirt. I'm just the dust of the earth, Lord. Remember how frail I am, and my days are like you said, like the shuttle of a weaver's beam. It's so fast. Lord, help me. I'm so weak. I stand in need of your grace. David writes it in the 139th Psalm, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. David answers his own prayer in verse number 8 of the 138th Psalm. He says in verse 4, for there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Verse 11. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the dark. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Now wait. David's not just saying, hey, I can't hide my sin from you, though we cannot. But David is saying, even darkness cannot hide me from you. You know where I am. You know the difficulty I'm in. You don't need a light to shine upon my life in order to see what's going on in my soul and what's going on outward. You already know, because the darkness can hide nothing from you. He said, for thou hast possessed my reins, verse 13. It means my mind and my inner self. Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, not finished yet. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how great is our God! Our fervent prayer is based upon the right foundation of God's continuing mercy and compassion again and again and again. And what Paul and David both are trying to impress upon our minds is, not only are we saved by faith, through grace, of course, saved by faith, a brand new creature, born again with the life of God within us. Now, from faith to faith, we should be living by faith. If you want to see the glories of God, you want to see the manifestation of God, you want to see the righteousness of God, you want to see the mercies and the cares of God Almighty that is overwhelming, like the fourth man in the furnace. One of my great mentors, Dr. Jimmy Tharp over in Shreveport, Louisiana, used to tell me, he used to say, my boy, he's a Cajun from South Louisiana. He said, my boy, I'm praying for troubles. I said, you're nuts. Praying for trouble. I have enough trouble without praying for trouble. And Job said, a man is a few days and full of trouble. A man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Over and over again, Job said, as the sparks fly upward, man is full of trouble. Oh, yeah. And Dr. Tharp says, I'm praying for trouble. I said, man, why? He said, in the midst of trouble, God is the sweetest and the dearest and the lovingest you'll ever experience. Through trouble, God reaches out to us. Through trouble, God guides us sometimes. Through trouble, God walks with us and talks with us all along the way through trouble. You know, I don't remember all of it, but you remember years ago that poem that came out, and somebody said, I saw a single set of prints on the beach in the sand, and came to realize, I said, Jesus, where were you? I needed you in my agony and my sorrow, and something to the effect, well, Those were my prints, not yours. I was carrying you all the way. How sweet to be reminded of that. Living by faith. It's not just, okay, I've been saved. Now I got to do the best I can. No, it's not that at all. Listen, you have a daily walk with Jesus. He will guide you. He will carry you. He will help you. He will manifest himself to you. If you die to the flesh, you die to the emotions, and you live by faith through the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. And you be mindful that you have two people on the inside. You're three people. You're three personalities. And two of those will be against the third one. And they're going to fight. And I heard a story years ago about the Indian chief saying, you have two dogs inside. You have an evil dog and a good dog. And they fight all the time. Fight, fight, fight. And the question was asked, well, which one wins? How do you know which one wins? He said, the one that you feed the most will win. The evil dog or the good dog? Well, it's kind of a strange way of putting it, but the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, that you cannot do the things that you know you should do until you're able to differentiate and put to death the flesh and live by the Spirit. Child of God, I challenge you. Live by faith. Walk by faith. Do everything in prayer with God. Every direction, every purpose. Let him know you have a problem walking by faith. Let him know you have difficulty. He already knows it, but if you confess it, he'll help you with it. And he'll guide you. Father, thank you for your word now. Truthfully,